Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. This is the exclusive radio home of the Chicago Bulls.
Levine is on fire! Another big-time splash! Wow. Put him in the hole! Put him in the Hall of Fame!
We are Sports Radio 670 The Score, an Odyssey station. WSCR in HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. An Odyssey station.
The Score!
Scoreboard update.
Good morning. I'm Dustin Rhodes. Here's what's happening. The Bears are back to work after snapping that five-game losing streak on Thanksgiving. The health of Justin Fields and Roquan Smith are going to be the biggest questions heading into the week. Roquan left the game on Thursday with a hamstring injury. The Bears hosting the Cardinals on Sunday. The Cardinals opening up as a seven-point favorite. Week 11 of the NFL, the 49ers outscored the Vikings 34-26. Packers get the best of the Rams 36-28. Sunday Night Football saw the Ravens 16-10 winners over the Browns. And Monday Night Football, we're going to have the Seahawks at the Washington football team. The Bulls on Saturday fell to the Heat 107-104. DeRozan led the way with 28 points. Caruso 22, Ball 11 points. Vooch and Levine, terrible shooting night, 9 for 25, 4 from 13 from threes. The Bulls will be right here on the Score tonight when they host the Hornets. Chuck Swirsky's pregame, 6:45. Last night, the Blackhawks were shut out by the Sharks, 2-0. The Blackhawks start a three-game road trip Thursday in Washington against the Capitals. Lincoln Riley is leaving Oklahoma to become the new head coach out in L.A. at Southern California. Florida also has a new coach. He's Billy Napier. He was with Louisiana, the Raging Cajuns, the last few years. Marcus Semien and the Texas Rangers are in agreement on a seven-year contract worth $175 million. And per John Heyman, Max Scherzer is expected to make his decision by Wednesday, December 1st. Looks like the Mets are the leaders. And in college basketball, DePaul starts out the season 6-0 with a 101-63 winner over Eastern Michigan. Notre Dame at the Illini tonight. Now to Mullion Haw.
Mully and Hall.
Fantastic, fantastic show.
Chicago sports talk for your morning.
Oh, man, I really wanted to talk to him.
Appreciate the love, big homie.
The Bears, I mean, what do you say about that win? It was hardly kind of an impressive victory, right? I mean, they got it done. Listen, it's been horrible. It's been an absolute, I believe we've settled on the term sham show, because it's a very positive way of saying it, but a total sham show from the Bears over the last 5 weeks since October 10th, including the bye, and ugly stuff. And the whole Nagy fired movement and the entire reaction to that and the sort of delayed everything, it's all very curious. It's all super interesting to kind of look at the Bears and where they're at and compare them to other organizations. The good news is that they are significantly better than the Detroit Lions. I think we all can agree upon that. Here's the bad news. I'm almost positive that they've played the Lions twice now, and I don't believe you get another shot at that team. So you can't rely on your next opponent. They come home to face Arizona. You can't rely on them to put together a couple timeouts, okay? I gotta tell you, I was laughing so hard when Detroit was called for a 5-yard penalty for calling two consecutive timeouts. And the reason I found it so amusing, I've watched football for so long, I'm not sure I've ever seen that one.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall, taking you up to 9 o'clock on 670 The Score.
Okay, let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Oh, my God. David, I didn't know that rule existed. I was watching the game, and he just heard that. I didn't know that was a penalty for calling. They're not supposed to allow the second one. That's why you never see it. But that is hysterical. Of all the football I've watched in my adult life, I didn't know that rule existed.
Learn something new every day. Morning, Molly. Happy Monday. Back to work Monday. It's been a long weekend, but a fun one. And we are back. Yeah, with the Bears, you never know. And I guess this will be another educational week. But a lot of other football to watch over the weekend. College was great. NFL was telling. A lot going on with the Bulls. And, boy, baseball hot stove heating up. We have a lot to get to today. Only 4 hours. We need more.
Yeah, well, where do you want to start? I mean, you mentioned it. Goodness gracious, there was some phenomenal college football. The Baseball Hot Stove League, that is more than heating up. It's already – the offseason's already ruined for some people. Well, let's be honest about it.
Let's start there because I think that's the – what I was curious when I saw the news coming across about Marcus Semien, I wanted to know your reaction. I think people are curious. When you saw the news about other pitchers going to other places, you started to wonder, okay, has the hot stove been lit in every city but Chicago? When you talk about Major League Baseball, what are the Sox doing? What are the Cubs doing? I know that's an overreaction, but goodness sakes, Marcus Semien to the Rangers, Max Scherzer to the Mets? Are you kidding me? Robbie Ray? What's he doing? You got Glosman going to the Blue Jays? What's next, Molly? What's going on?
Yeah. I mean, I can't tell you what's next because I got to be honest with you. When you look at this, it's happening too fast. And it's all the players that we had talked about going to the wrong places, quite frankly. So there's nothing like that to just kind of ruin your day. Marcus Semien, listen, I'm not completely delirious. I think he's back playing shortstop, frankly. So I guess I understand.
Could be.
It looks like it, right?
Could be. Well, the other news is the Rangers may not be done yet. The Rangers may be in on Corey Seager today and may be playing Marcus Semien at second as they play Seager at short or Trevor Story at short. That could be the way they want to spend their money. Right. Nobody knows what is next, but we do know this is going to be a big day, and it already has been a frenzied 24 hours because of the looming deadline. The CBA expires Wednesday. They want to get these deals agreed to now so they get their physicals in and everything on the books, and that's why the next 24 hours in baseball is going to feel like the trade deadline that day because there's going to be a lot of activity.
Any activity from our local teams? Can we expect that?
I don't know. I'm really skeptical. I don't think so because some of the bigger names are being targeted elsewhere. Maybe they trade Craig Kimbrell, and that is your second base option if Segura is coming back from the Phillies. I don't know what the Cubs are doing. I don't know what the Cubs are thinking, Molly. We talked Saturday with Bruce on Inside the Clubhouse, and there was a lot of different opinions about how aggressive they will be. Jed Hoyer says the right things, but has so far done very little.
Yeah, we've talked about this from Jump Street. I mean, you can talk a big game, but let's see it. Let's see some actual signings and not just kind of theoretical, which I think is where we're at right now.
That's where we are right now. But you know what? The baseball hot stove heating up was a nice diversion temporarily from the 4-7 season that the Bears year has become. Or am I being unfair there because of – I think I saw on one of the networks last night the Bears are in the hunt, as they say. In the hunt, Molly.
That is – listen, when half your wins come from one team and you don't play them again, I can't say they're in the hunt. That might be as absurd as anything I've ever heard.
I say it in hopefully a mocking tone so that is clear that I agree with you because – I don't know. If you're saying they're in the hunt, I wonder how you are out of touch because what are we watching? Are we watching the same team? Are we watching the same season unfold? Because the Bears, congratulations, you beat the Lions. I know you did a great job Friday talking about it. I haven't been on since, but you beat the Lions, and you struggled to do so when you scored 16 points. I don't know whether to celebrate or commiserate because of the realities that were obviously on display. But, yeah, you're 4-7. I don't think you're in the hunt.
Well, I mean, look, you can't score still. It's great to get a field goal at the end of the game because it means the other team doesn't get a chance to come back. But my goodness gracious, this is really kind of a frightening one, right?
Well, it is because of the schedule, and everything is in context. Now, if your next two games were against, you know, the Jaguars and maybe another team that's really struggling right now, you might feel like, okay, I can buy that. It's the NFL. Parity reigns, and you can get to flirting with 500. But your next two games are against the two teams that might meet in the NFC Championship game in the Cardinals and the Packers. And I don't know if you watched yesterday. Packers pretty good. Mully.
Yeah.
That big toe of Aaron Rodgers doesn't look like it hurts him that much at all.
Well, and you got another – they got another week now. They got a week off before they play you, right? So you would think that as banged up as they are, that the bye week comes at the perfect time.
It does for them. Yeah. Just like the Cardinals, it came for them at the perfect time. So now you're going to face two teams that are presumably at full strength. Kyler Murray should play. He's playing games on Twitter, sending messages. We think that means he's coming. He means he's coming back. Aaron Rodgers, you know, on good rest, like a pitcher with an extra day. I just think that, yeah, when you look at the realities, and frankly, when you watch, you know, the Bears just don't pass the eye test. The stories don't pass the smell test. And I have to say, I don't know how different the narrative changes just because you survived against the worst team in the NFL.
Yeah, and it felt like survival. It didn't feel like the domination, even though, you know, you think about it, and that's a team you should dominate, but you trailed them for a while there, and you get the Cairo Santos 28-yarder, and that's great, and it's a wonderful way of ensuring that you're going to win. But I don't know that we've seen them solve all these problems, right? It looks like the problems are pretty deep, and you got to wonder about who's in and who's out, right?
Yeah.
Roquan, I mean, where are we at with Roquan? I was talking to Patrick Manley on the morning of the game, doing the pregame show, and I said to him, with no Justin Fields, who are you looking for? What do you want to watch? And he said, man, I just want to watch Roquan Smith and the way he's been playing and the game he's going to have. And we talked about the two Georgia Bulldogs. They're going to face off in the game. And as Patrick said, Roquan's bringing the wood. I mean, he's not just hitting people. He is crushing people. And there was the two guys.
And they both go down.
And I mean, it was a hell of a hit that he put on them, but apparently a hamstring issue. My God, haven't we seen enough hamstrings? So who knows? That takes a while, buddy.
Knocked him out of the game, but also knocked himself out of the game. A good hit. But that was a nice thing to see him flying around as usual. He is a special player. That has been established. But that game was almost like it was laced with tryptophan. I mean, it was nap-inducing for a while. And then you saw them coming back, and okay, they got the victory, and you don't want to be all negative. You have to, you know, you have to enjoy the moments as they present themselves, Mully, but nothing in the way – when I watched the game and I saw what happened, and you internalized it just objectively as a football fan, and then you heard the way they talked about it, I wondered if I missed something along the way. There was something lost in translation, which spoke to just – how difficult of a week it was at Halas Hall, because this was more than just your run-of-the-mill victory over the worst team in football. They looked at that, and they're carrying the game ball, Matt Nagy all proudly, and there was emotion in his voice, and he was a little chesty on Friday.
Wow.
This was more than just a victory.
Yeah, he was very chesty on Friday, I thought.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that wasn't the guy that we had seen on the previous Tuesday. Let's put it that way, right? He wasn't hiding behind a baseball cap. And, it was a very strange weekend for the Bears all the way around. And I think that, you know, we sit here this morning and you, you talk about all the guys that are on the sidelines or at home, and, you know, at one point, I think they had Marcus Hunt, Caleb Johnson, Travis Gibson, Angelo Blackson, Christian Jones, Marquis Christian, and Artie Burns all on the field at the same time. And I actually wrote it down. And you look at that, and you think, what happened to their team? Who are these guys? Like,
is it,
even the
is
most
it Thanksgiving or the middle
fan.
Of August?
Exactly. Yes, it did have that feel of that kind of game. And what are you going to do? I mean, they got to get some guys healthy. They got to get some guys together. And I would not be smug if I were anyone involved with that organization right now.
That's a good word, because it sensed, it felt like there was some smugness involved. And I understand the satisfaction, and it's hard to relate to the emotional investment and everything they went through because of what we don't know, how much it tested them or how much it took out of them. But, Mully, I just can't get past, if you're Matt Nagy, you do want to, humility is your best friend, and you come across a lot as a lot more likable when you are humble. And you are also, remember, 7-1 against the Lions and 24-26 against everybody else in the league. So
right.
There are ways to look at this that I think would inspire the humility that I talk about. So you don't want to get too carried away.
Well, I mean, you know, I felt Matt Nagy was really badly done to. I did. I felt that way, you know, as I watched the game and kind of the post game. And then you just kind of, I don't know that he ruined that, but it changed the way that I was looking at him and at him. And I don't know. I just thought to myself as I saw some of that, you know, it's great to have a good feeling and to be upbeat, but be careful now, because, you know, there was a lot of smoke, and usually there's fire.
And we'll get through and address a lot of that stuff as it comes up, because there were some reports and some stuff over the weekend we need to sift through. But I do think this, you're right. I mean, his bosses put Matt Nagy in a difficult spot. You can say what you will about the media coverage, and we can parse statements and we can pick sides. But the fact of the matter remains, number one, the Bears bosses put Matt Nagy, the coach, in a difficult position by having him be pretty much the sole spokesperson for this entire saga. Number two, I'm not sure the bottom line about anything big picture has changed. So you can celebrate this, and you should enjoy every victory because they're hard to come by in the NFL. But I don't know if big picture anything about the future of the Bears has changed.
Well, I mean, look, that 5-game losing streak had a different feeling than the 6-game losing streak a year ago even, right? And the 4-game losing streak the year before that. I got a feeling that those chants aren't going away. The chants that this guy has faced, they broke out at a Blackhawks game. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to stop. So you play Arizona, you got to win that game, or the crowd is going to let you know that they don't want you around. And I think that it's unfortunate that it happened at the high school game. That is unforgivable. There are no more high school games. That's good. But I would suspect that whenever, you know, Bears fans are gathered, even at other sporting events, they're going to let management know how they feel. I'm talking about Bears management, even amidst another sporting event. And that's a big deal, man.
I agree with you. You're right about that. The public will speak loudly, both with those chants and maybe by not showing up in empty seats, perhaps by the end of the home season. But I'll say this, you shouldn't need them. You shouldn't need them if you're doing the job the right way. You shouldn't have multiple game losing streaks to compare season to season like they do at Hallis Hall. And so, you know, sound down. Don't listen to the chants. Watch the tape and watch what's happening and, frankly, what's not happening with your offense from a guy who was brought here to fix it. It still is broken 4 years later. So that should speak as loud as any chance that will break out and will continue to break out in choruses around Chicago, wherever people are gathered.
All right, we're going to get through all the big stories of the day. We're going to pick them apart. We've got the 5 at 5 next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. 5 at 5 with Mully and Haw starts now.
Where are you with your trust level with the Bears? Do you believe the Bears were never going to fire Matt Nagy, or are you more likely to believe they got caught planning to fire him? Is Nagy long for this job? What did you think of his defensive Friday news conference?
Yeah, nothing like a defensive Friday. I don't know. I mean, I am confounded by what they were doing. I did watch the news conference on Tuesday. I did see how Matt Nagy looked. I did read what Biggsy wrote, and I believe every word that he wrote in terms of, you know, the rumors being out there. But him talking to the players and talking to the team and saying tomorrow's promise to no one and all that stuff. I don't think that story changed until George spoke to the team, and I think that was a day later. So I'm confounded. I think the Bears kind of got caught with their hand in the cookie jar a little, right? I think that there was some sort of plan going on, and there was something that happened, and I think that Matt Nagy has gotten a stay of execution. I don't know for how long. I don't know that the governor's pardon will last forever. So I think that I think there's a lot of smoke, and I think that I'd be careful about how you respond to it and act like, oh, well, what, me worry? This was never an issue. Yeah, something was going on. Something was definitely going on.
Right. I think you're right. I also think we have to be honest about things here. Patch was wrong. He wasn't fired on Thursday. He says he wasn't told he was going to be fired on Thursday. So if you're looking at the literal report, the report was wrong. That doesn't mean there's nothing there. I think that would be naive to think that. The Bears are so clumsy at communicating that you believe that anything is plausible here. It's more plausible than implausible that decision was made, the information leaked out, Matt Nagy got wind of it, what exactly he was told about that decision being made. That is where I think we have a difference in interpretation, or maybe a matter of semantics. I'm not going to get caught up on the semantics. The Bears are run so poorly. They're not only the worst-run team in the city, they're in the team photo as the worst-run team in pro sports. So I'm skeptical of everything that comes out of the mouths of leaders there and how the story may change, because history and experience tell me that that's the wise course to take. They treated a report from a Pulitzer Prize winner like it was a message board rumor. Okay, we can debate that, whether that was the right way to go, and how they can cling to this idea that he wasn't told and all these things we heard on Friday, blah, 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 blah. But it really misses the point. All of it's misplaced focus. None of it, the noise, changes the reality, which is change is needed badly, starting at the top. But change is coming quickly, likely for Matt Nagy. It starts with the coach. That's probably where they're going to start. I don't think anything about last week changed that narrative or reality. That's coming. We can debate the details all you want, but I don't think we're going to change the story.
No, they can't be believed, meaning the Bears. And I guess if you are looking for a glass half full this morning on a victory Monday, if you're willing to celebrate a victory Monday after a game that happened Thursday after a long holiday weekend, Matt Nagy, the odds of Matt Nagy coaching week one of next season have to be unbelievable. There's really no way he's doing that. The question really now is, who's making the decision on who's replacing Matt Nagy? Is Ryan Pace still going to be here? Is there going to be somebody above Ryan Pace's head? I mean, I get Matt Nagy pushing back and celebrating and being all puffy chested. I mean, you know, none of us would want to be in the position that he's in right now, unless we're going to get $4 or $5 million to not work next year and then go back and be the quarterback's coach probably for Andy Reid in the 2023 NFL season. So, no, the Bears can't be believed right now. The Bears won a game. I would be shocked if Matt Nagy was the head coach in week one. And that's what you have to hold on to as a Bears fan today. I think they were scooped. I think that's why things – I believe Matt Nagy was going to be fired on Thursday or Friday of this past weekend. But because the story came out, they changed the course, and they're trying to figure out who the rat is in the building now. I mean, it's tough up there. You can't get any information out of that place, and they are very unbelievable right now. Yes, they are.
Scoreboard update.
From the Score Update studio, I am Dustin Rhodes. Here's what's happening. The Bears are going to be back to work later on this morning. We're going to hear from Matt Nagy a couple times today. We'll find out what the health is on Justin Fields and Roquan Smith, or we'll have to wait for that first officially injury report come Wednesday. Roquan left the game on Thursday with a hamstring injury. The Bears are hosting the Cardinals Sunday. Cardinals open up as a 7-point favorite. Week 12 of the NFL, 49ers outscored the Vikings 34-26. Packers got the best of the Rams 36-28. Last night, Sunday Night Football, Ravens 16-10 winners over the Browns despite four interceptions from Lamar Jackson. Monday Night Football, we're going to see the Seahawks at the Washington Football Team. 6:45 right here on the Score. The Bulls are going to host the Hornets, looking to bounce back after a 107-104 loss on Saturday to the Miami Heat. Last night, the Blackhawks were shut out by the Sharks 2-0, and Lincoln Riley has left Oklahoma to become the new head coach at USC. Now back to the 5 at 5 with Mullion Hall.
That's why I'm answering these questions right now, because I respect and understand where y'all are coming from your side.
The Bears won their first game in 46 days against the hapless Lions on Thursday. Their first win, yes, again, I'll repeat it, in 46 days. Since the woeful Lions represent two of the Bears' four wins this year, is it fair to wonder if they can go 6-11 on the year? What is your projected record with or without a coaching change?
I love that before they won that game, Tony La Russa had won a game more recently than Matt Nagy in Chicago. I just love that little stat. October 10th was the date that we circled on our calendars, and we repeated ad nauseum last week, Molly. So, look, yeah, they did beat the Lions. Congratulations. It was a game that was more difficult, I think, than necessary. They did some things in there that were, you know, worth – have some carryover effect maybe into the Cardinals game. Andy Dalton – gave a great pep talk on Wednesday night, and then he backed it up on Thursday with this more efficiency. He wasn't great. He was good enough, but he ran the offense, and defensively they hung on. They made some plays, I suppose, even after losing Roquan Smith. But I think even the most wildly optimistic, objective look at the schedule is a 3-3 finish. I think you could probably look at it and say, all right, well, they're going to beat the Vikings once because Kirk Cousins is not going to line up behind the right offensive lineman, at least for one of those games, and he'll make a mistake that leads to a Viking loss like he did yesterday. So maybe you give the Bears one victory over the Vikings. Maybe they beat the Giants at home. Happy New Year, January 2nd. They beat the Giants, and, you know, they're having all sorts of a mess there with their general manager rumored to be on the way out and all sorts of coaching problems. Jason Garrett gone as offensive coordinator. They could beat the Giants. Going to Seattle to beat the Seahawks, I don't know, Molly. That's a tall order, even though the Seahawks aren't the Seahawks we're used to seeing. And then the Cardinals and the Packers, forget it. So 3-3 is wildly optimistic. I think they finished 2-4, and now they're staring at 6-11, which screams for change.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're gonna lose some games. It would not stun you to see them put up, three-game losing streak, maybe four. There's not a lot there. There's not. I mean, Justin Fields is something to watch and something to study and something to get a kick out of. But I mean, the way this team is playing, the players that are lining up for them, the lack of players, starters, as we went over it earlier on, I mean, seven wins would be kind of a miracle. Frankly, I mean, it's more likely they win two games before it's all said and done than that they win three games. And, you know, that's being generous with them, quite frankly. I think they win a couple more games, and I think that's it. Unfortunately, you can't play the Lions every time you need the Lions. That's a pity. They should petition the league and ask for a couple more games against that team. That team, you know, you think the Bears are bad. Holy mother of God. I have no idea some of those coaching decisions. My favorite moment might have been when the two coaches were desperate to call a timeout and they were running around.
Are the Lions the third best team in the state of Michigan?
Yeah. We'll get into the big college game, but Michigan was phenomenal, so that's great. I can't have much enthusiasm. This is a get-it-over-with season, frankly, until the quarterback comes back, and then you hope to see some development. But I have low expectations, very low expectations.
I'm going to go with one, and that might be even a stretch. Okay, Arizona loss, Green Bay loss. Minnesota is still in the hunt, as we were talking about in the first segment of the show. So I guess maybe the Sunday, January 9th game, the last game of the season, if the Vikings are out of it and the Bears are out of it, maybe that's the changing of the guard is the second fiddle in the NFC North as Kirk Cousins fades away and Justin Fields rides in to take over as second fiddle until potentially getting Aaron Rodgers traded out to Denver or wherever Aaron Rodgers' next stop is. Another question. So week 14, Sunday, December the 12th, will that game get flexed? Will the Bears at Packers end up on as a 3 o'clock game instead of a Sunday night game? If the Bears gotten bad enough that even NBC would flex out the arguably greatest rivalry in the NFL and flex that out because the Bears are that bad? I think that's going to be another very telling sign and something that might sting ownership enough. If the charter franchise of this league gets flexed out at the Packers in week 14, because they are so bad, that might be another signal that massive change is coming to Halas Hall.
Well, they might just televise it and give like a parental guidance suggested kind of a warning because it could be ugly.
I'm sorry, I have a question for you.
As we prepare for the Ball Brothers showdown tonight between the Bulls and Hornets, how concerned should we be with the Bulls losing three of their last four? What's wrong with Nikola Vucevic?
Oh, yeah, I got to tell you, it's hard to shift gears. I thought the Bulls were back, and then I thought that not quite. And I think it's the NBA. I think that's what an NBA season is about. I think that, they started really strong. They were playing very well, and now they're getting to a point where the grind of the season is catching up to them a little bit. And certainly that was the case with the loss in the second of the back-to-back after returning from the road trip. So I think it's almost predictable and understandable that this sort of thing happens. Vooch hasn't been really good this year. And then coming off the illness break, I think I'm going to give him another week before I start getting into a panic mode. I think that having the COVID break is not a break. And I think that it kind of led to some issues for him. And I hope that he gets it worked out a little. But I'm not sure he's physically there yet.
Yeah, it was, I think, human nature. We got a little carried away. And the Bulls still on a 51-win pace after the first quarter of the season is over. But I think we expected a little bit more than the past week provided, losing three out of four. And the way that they lost, Molly, I think that was the big thing. You know, you get blown out by the Pacers at home, and then you go to Houston and you think, okay, that's a get-well game. Oh, no, the Rockets, look at that. They are soaring. And now you go into, against the Heat, and you think, well, all right, this is a measuring stick game. No, we don't want to measure against this team right now because they're not there yet. And part of it is because I think Vucevic is just not the same player that we're used to seeing or that he's going to be. You know, I think he started slow trying to adjust with DeRozan and Zach and those kinds of things. And then, COVID struck, and I don't think he's back yet. And I think that's going to take a while. So I'm willing to give him almost like until the first of the year. Not that that's an excuse, but I think you've got to give him time to integrate into the offense, to get his conditioning and physical feeling back because it takes so much out of you. And I think that, you know, he's only averaging 13 points a game. That'll get better. And I think the Bulls will as well. So it's been a disappointing week. I don't want to overreact in November to anything that happens in the NBA regular season. But that tells you about how good the start was, that we're disappointed when they're looking as human as they've looked. But I do think that they can still be okay. And I'm looking forward to tonight. I think the Big Baller Brand is in town, and that's going to be a fun matchup at the United Center.
It should be a really fun matchup at the United Center tonight. I saw Papa Ball already talking about the younger Ball winning the MVP when he leads the Hornets to the NBA Finals out of the East. And listen, okay, like Bulls, stop the Hornets. You can only beat the team that's in front of you. It was a disappointing. I mean, the worst part was the Rockets. The Rockets now have two wins. How do you go down there and lose to the Rockets? Now, I would always overreact because every game, in my opinion, matters. Every game is a must-win. Every game is a statement game. They're not going to break the Bulls' record of 72-10. But we do need to wonder what's going on with Vooch. So it was going okay with him, but it seemed to go better without him. And now they need to figure out how to win again with him. So we need to wait and see. I mean, Vooch is going to have to get his basketball legs back. I'm sure when you're out with COVID that you're not cardiovascular training like you usually are. And basketball is a very cardiovascular driven sport. So I guess I'm willing to give it time. But it's amazing that we were talking about, you know, the Bulls potentially being a number two seed. And now all of a sudden we're talking about the Bulls playing in the play-in games to get into the actual postseason. So it's very interesting how tight the top of the East is right at this moment.
It's a tough one, Bruce. It's a very fair question and obviously a ripe one.
Now that Marcus Simeon is off the market, signing a 7-year, $175 million contract with the Rangers, do you expect the White Sox to shift gears, or were they never really on board with Simeon, in your opinion? Do you see him as a shortstop or second baseman? How do they see him?
I think they see him as a second baseman. I think he will play whatever position the team that needs him to play will play. He's an offensive weapon. That's what he is. He's a difference maker in that lineup. And I understand the White Sox not maybe wanting to spend $175 over 7 years because of that seventh year or whatever the average salary is they don't want to pay. He's 31 and he swings from the right side. They need a left-handed power. It's possible that they're right about that risk. But you know what? The thing is, they're saying win now. They're saying it's time to win now. And when you declare that it's time to win now, you accept those risks as being part of that. You accept the possibility and likelihood that you're going to overpay for a free agent here or there. Maybe one, maybe two, maybe both. The Cubs are still complaining about one of the worst free agent signings I think we'll talk about in Jason Hayward. But without him, do they win the World Series? I know that I don't want to go down that road necessarily, but you do overpay for free agents that maybe put you over the top. Would Marcus Simeon have put the White Sox over the top? I don't know, but I don't mind that discussion, and I would have loved to have found out. I would have loved to have found out and have seen. I don't worry so much about the budget in 5 years if you're telling me it's time to win now, and you're looking at the Tony La Russa in the dugout, and you're looking at your roster, and you're looking at your pitching staff, and you're saying, yeah, win now. Worry later. And I think that's easy for fans to say, but that's kind of the message they're sending, isn't it? They want to win the World Series. You've got to make expenditures like that to put yourself in a position to win the World Series.
Yeah, you know, it would appear that they're going to try to make a deal. It would appear they've decided to trade for a second baseman because, you know, it's not just Marcus Simeon that's gone. Eduardo Escobar is gone as well. There was talk about him last year, and I thought, hey, maybe that's a good idea. And you know, you start looking at the guys that are out there that could help you. And didn't Adam Frazier get traded to Seattle?
Yeah,
I mean, it's like, oh boy, like my list of guys, like mental list is scratch out that name, scratch out that name, scratch out that name. So where are we with all of this? Is, you know, surely after signing yet another closer, they're not going to keep Kimbrel. But is that the hope or the dream? Is the idea that Gene Segura is coming here? That's the idea then? They're going to trade him? Can they get that done, please, like yesterday? It just seems like when you look at all the multiple closers they have right now, I don't know why they haven't made that deal already. Maybe it's not enough, but you better get to something because the players are disappearing and they're signing at breakneck pace. And I don't think there's a second baseman that, you know, I don't think there's an acceptable solution on the roster right now. So you better get that position. You better make that deal, get that done, figure out that position, and then spend some money, as you say. You know, get some help. You need more. You need more. You've got holes here, man. Did you see the Bill James thing is out, and he basically has Zach Collins as the worst defensive catcher in Major League Baseball, right?
I saw that.
So I'm just saying, like, you're aware of that, right? Like, the guy can't play that position, and he's your best guy at that position. You got to do something. You better get a defensive catcher. You better get a backup catcher. That's not asking for the world, right? You got to get a right fielder. You got to get a second baseman. You got to get a catcher, and it would help. Why not try to get a another pitcher? Your guy went to Toronto. So if Gausman is at Toronto, then who's picking up the free agent lefty? Let's go. Let's get something done here. But yeah, Kevin Gausman is expected to sign a, what was it, 5-year deal? Come on now. There's got to be a little bit of money left in the bank. Get trade whoever you need to trade. Clear out whatever you need to do, and let's get going.
I'm sure the White Sox were interested in him, but I believe that he wasn't willing to play for Tony La Russa, and he didn't need to. I mean, in your heart of hearts, Mully, there's no way you wanted to pay $25 million a year for that guy. No chance.
I mean, I'm saying
the highest
now that he's
paid
gone,
second baseman.
Does that mean Robbie Ray is available? Okay, I'd pay $25 million for him.
Well, I think the most glaring need on this team for a day-in, day-out need is second base now. That is the biggest need for this team. And now the question is, you, meaning the White Sox, didn't
yep.
want to trade Vaughn. And I think in order to get a controllable second baseman of the future, you're going to have to find a dance partner, and I think Vaughn is going to have to be part of that. Unless you plan on using Vaughn in a every other day, every other matchup out in right field, which you could. You, the White Sox, have enough players to cover right field if you wanted to. The glaring need every day, though, is second base. Altuve makes $29 million. Cano makes $24 million. Then it drops down to 16, 15, and 8 for the highest paid second baseman. So he's being paid like a shortstop. Where he plays for the Rangers, TBD. But either way, he wanted to get paid like a shortstop. He'll play where they tell him, but he was getting paid like a shortstop.
Where's he batting? That's what he's there for, his bat, not his glove.
I mean, for the Rangers, I don't know the Rangers well enough, David.
Well,
I know,
but like he's there to hit 40 home runs, not to necessarily where he plays and how he's paid. He's paid to hit home runs. That's why he's worth $25 million.
Oh, boy, good question.
What was the best college football game in a weekend full of them? Who is your top four if you had to submit your list to the College Football Playoff Committee today, even if next Saturday's championship games could change everything?
You know, I love that Michigan-Ohio State game. I thought that was a hell of a game. The crowd was all over it. The conditions were perfect for football. It like a little hint of snow and the cold weather, and you know, I like Ohio State and everything, but I thought Michigan had to have that game, got that game. That was a big game. I watched the Iron Bowl, but I watched it on delay, and when I'm sitting there late at night watching the Iron Bowl, and all of a sudden the tape runs out and the game's I didn't have any overtimes, and I got a rush to watch the highlights, and that was so disappointing and disheartening. I don't know why I didn't think that was going to overtime. And, what are you going to do? That was a hell of a football game. I couldn't believe that Alabama couldn't score. right up to the point where they ended up winning it in four overtimes. But totally shut out on that one. Didn't get to that one in time. Notre Dame had another great performance. They're moving up. As far as the Final Four is concerned, you know, obviously it's going to be hard to move Alabama out of there, but they really ought to move Alabama out of there. That should have been a loss, and that was not a good performance. And, you know, it's a little bit of a letdown for them, but they ended up winning the game. Okay, fair enough. So you got Georgia, I guess Alabama, you got Michigan State, you got Cincinnati. That's where we're at. I am hoping that some things change within that. And, you know, it's a pity. Dustin and I were talking that Wisconsin loss didn't do much for Notre Dame and their hopes of moving up. And now they don't have any conference games. And, you know, I think you're going to have Cincinnati in that Final Four. And I think that there are a lot of people that aren't thrilled about it.
I also watched the Iron Bowl and I stayed for the overtime. And I complained about the overtime every possession because I hate that college football overtime rule.
It's awful.
Even though Bama held on, I hated the way that came down to that. That's going to help decide a national champion potentially. That stupid overtime rule, goodness sakes. But Ohio State, Michigan is what college football is all about. It's what rivalries are all about. Jim Harbaugh had Michigan ready to go. All right. That is what happens when you have a tough-minded physical football team reflecting its head coach. And Jim Harbaugh is that head coach. We'll talk about his future later, whatever, if you want to, because I'm Bears. Here for all the Harbaugh talk. I'm really
Bears.
So that was a fun game for me to watch. There were others. The Iron Bowl was fun. Notre Dame took care of business in Stanford. This is what the Final Four looks like to me right now, before next Saturday. Georgia, Michigan, Bama, Cincy. I've got Notre Dame fifth ahead of Oklahoma State, only because I anticipate maybe Oklahoma State losing to Baylor. I also think that Bama's going to lose to Georgia. So I think, Molly, there's a route for Notre Dame to get into the playoffs. I really do. They're the most – they can make the argument they have improved as much as any team in the top 10 from the beginning of the season or the middle of the season since that loss to Cincinnati. I know it's not perfect. I know they may not want to be in the playoffs, but you always want a shot and a seat at the table. Even though, to me, this is a consistent program. If they don't get into the playoff, it's not the end of the world because they have had a very good year in South Bend.
Well, based on last week's games this past weekend, Michigan and Ohio State was a great game to watch. The snow added to the effect. The 11 a.m. kick, I'm always a fan of the 11 a.m. kicks for our lifestyles. And the only bad part was as soon as Michigan won, I knew that we were going to have to hear David with the pom-poms for Jim Harbaugh. Now, you could sell me on Mully's idea of the Harbaugh brothers coming in. I thought that was kind of interesting. I think that's a long shot, but that's something that I think would be wildly interesting. I'll say this. It's Georgia, Michigan, Bama, Cincinnati. Go Iowa. So Iowa knocks off Michigan, and that's how Notre Dame gets in. I can't see Iowa being a representative in the playoff. I could see the Big Ten not having a representative in this Final Four after Iowa beats Jim Harbaugh in Michigan. And then we'll
not
see if David wants to hire Jim Harbaugh.
Not going
to
happen.
We'll see if David wants
happen.
To hire Jim Harbaugh after that.
Hail victors. We'll Listen, see. Dustin, tell me this. Two-loss
Go
Bama team? Two-loss Bama team? He doesn't coach anymore. Over a one-loss Notre Dame team in the Final Four? If Bama loses to Georgia, you're going to take them?
No. I said if Michigan loses to Iowa, Notre Dame takes Michigan's spot. So then the Final Four would be Georgia, Notre Dame, Alabama, Cincinnati.
What if Bama loses to Georgia?
It depends how badly they lose.
Yeah, I just think
that, I mean, come on.
Depends how bad they lose.
A lot of football left to play. A lot of football.
312-644-6767.
Forgot my pom-poms.
It's the Mully and Haas Show. You got what?
Forgot my pom-poms. Dustin said I'm waving them from Harbaugh. All right, let's wave them.
Yeah, let's go. Hey, you can wave them from many worse people.
Exactly.
Mean, and you know what? Lincoln Riley's not available, Dustin.
That's right.
Not in this cycle. Yeah. It's Mully and Haas, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.